Matthew chapter 15. I want to read several passages today. The message is a question Peter should not have asked and an answer that Peter should not have given. First of all, Matthew 15. Starting at verse 1. Then there come to Jesus from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Now look at verse 10. And he called to him the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which entereth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which proceedeth out of the mouth, this defileth the man." Look down at verse 15. And Peter answered and said unto him, "Declare unto us the parable." So this is the question that Peter is asking. "Declare unto us, explain this parable." And he said, "Are ye also even yet without understanding? Perceive ye not that whatsoever goeth into the mouth passeth into the belly and is cast out into the grass? But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart. For out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man." And that's the question that he asked that should not have been asked. Now, chapter 17. And if Tim can keep Anna quiet, that would be a miracle today. Chapter 17. And look at verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, that's where the Lord Jesus lived after he was in Bethlehem, they that received the tribute money, which was a half shekel, came to Peter and said, "Doth not your teacher pay the tribute money?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spake first to him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? The kings of the earth, from whom do they receive tribute or toll? From their sons or from strangers?" And when he said, "From strangers," Jesus said unto him, "Therefore, the sons are free, but lest we cause them to stumble, go thou to the sea and cast the hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a shekel. That take and give unto them for me and thee." That will be enough reading. So now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the Holy Scriptures. Indeed, man, knowing it or not, puts on the front of our Bibles, Holy Bible. We believe this. We are thankful, our Father, that we are persuaded that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we are thankful for the things that you have chosen to insert in the Word. We've read two, and we desire to think about more. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit will enable us to understand them, so that our God, we will not ask questions that should not be asked, and we shall not give answers that should not be given. Help us to learn not only from the things that your children do right, but also from the things that they do wrong. So bless us to that end this morning. Let us know all the ones that are sick and suffering, the decisions that have to be made. We would not forget them. Our God, for those who could be here but are not, we pray that you shall work upon their souls. And for those that would be here but cannot, we pray that you shall bless them and their bodies. And help us this morning. Help your servant, our Father, and help those who have ears. Let them listen and let them be blessed. Undertake for us, we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The difference between writing your own biography and having somebody else write it is this. If I write my biography, I leave out all the bad things and put in all the good things. But when God writes a biography, as he wrote the Bible, it is so sad that it seems as if God goes through the lives of those that are most dear to him, and he puts in the bad things as well as the good things. The Lord Jesus, in Revelation 2 and 3, he looks at the churches and he tells them every good thing he possibly can about them, but he says, but I have somewhat against thee. And if God were looking at us this morning, when you compare yourself with Peter, you think over your life, and you would ask, Lord, do we have to let it be known unto men some of the blunders that I made in life? And God may say, yes. And Lord, some of the things I said, do I have to tell people what I said, the mistakes that I made that I now know are wrong? Could they withhold those from being recorded? And God says, no. And so what he's done is this. With the Apostle Peter, more than any of the other apostles, he has given us particular things. And what is so embarrassing is that some of the things known about Peter are known by Matthew and John, because they also were apostles with him. But some are found in Mark and Luke, and they were not his fellow apostles, but they tell us things about Peter. At times they are good, but they also put in the bad things about Peter. And in the portion that we read this morning, two things Matthew gives us. One of them is a question that Peter asked that he should not have asked, and then an answer Peter gave that he should not have given. And when Peter finished asking the question, without mercy, the Lord Jesus addressed him and told him the mistake that he had made. And Peter, you would think, understood it. But what is so sad is that we know that at that time, Peter did not understand it. He did not understand it that day. He did not understand it the entire life of Christ. He did not understand it until Christ had to tell him again 3 times from heaven. You may look at Peter and say, why, how could anyone be so dull? How could they miss things that are so evident? But they are not so evident. Because when I read that the Lord Jesus said to him, are you also yet without understanding? What our Savior says is this, I have been teaching you these many months now, and you should have known this lesson and this lesson and this lesson. But in the question you ask, I understand that you do not know the answer to the question. And it upsets me. Isn't that a sad thing for the Lord Jesus to look at your life and understand that you haven't made the progress in understanding the Word of God as you should have? And most Christians are that way. I enjoy it when people come and ask me questions. I enjoy it, especially if I can give them the answer. And then if I do not know the answer, I say, the Lord, just give me a little while and I'll give you the answer to it. But if you ask me a question today, and I may not know the answer to that question, in the will of God, I will know the answer tomorrow, or as soon as I can get home and check things out. Why? Because the Lord tells us this, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. Nevertheless, it leads us in fear. Now, do you believe that scripture? Be ready always to give an answer. But the easiest thing is this. I don't know, but I'll ask John Mills. That's not the thing that God wants us to do. He said, you be ready always to give an answer. And so one of the most enjoyable things in life is when people come to you with questions that can be answered directly from the Word of God. And without hesitation, you can give them the answer to that question. At times, they ask you a question, and you have to be severe with them and say, this is what the Bible says. I remember, on occasion, people had come and asked me about marriage and divorce. I remember years ago, a young lady came to me and said, now, I'm leaving my husband. I don't want to stay with him anymore. She said, now, I want to get married. Will you marry me? I said, no, I won't marry you. I said, you know what the Bible says? And I told her, and so it didn't upset her at all. She went and got another preacher to marry her. But at least I knew what the Word of God said. The Lord Jesus had told me in Matthew 19 that marriage is a permanent thing. And so she wanted to know the answer, and I gave it. And at other times, people have come and asked me questions, and I've given them the answer from the Word of God, and their hearts have rejoiced. Because they thought they were doing something wrong, but they weren't doing something wrong, and I showed them the scripture, and their hearts rejoiced. So it may be you think you're doing something that's wrong, and it's not wrong. But most of the time, you want to do something that's wrong and you're hoping that I'll tell you that it was right. But the only way to know for sure is to what saith the scripture. Do you remember that? What saith the scripture? And the Lord Jesus commended those that search the scriptures. He said, you search the scriptures, or search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. And so the Lord Jesus always points you to the Word of God. But now, when Peter came and asked this question about the parable, and it's a strange way to express it, because listen to what Peter called a parable. The Lord Jesus said, not that which entereth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. Now, that doesn't sound like a parable. It's not extended. But Peter said, explain to us this parable. And to him, it was something that he thought that was enigmatical. He thought it was mysterious. But tell me if you can understand it. That which enters into your mouth doesn't defile you, but that which comes out of your mouth, that defiles you. Is that a parable or is that plain speaking? You say, well, that's so plain. And that's what the Lord said. And yet, Peter took the words of our Lord that were plain and not a parable, and he asked as if it were a parable. There was some deep meaning in there that had to be explained by the Savior. And the Savior said this. He said, "You should have known the answer to this already." The Lord is ever so gracious. We are slow to understand, and he gives us time to understand. But after a period of time, he is merciless when we should have understood, but we do not understand. And this is the case with the Apostle Peter. Now, I told you this, and it's remarkable, that what Peter should have known in Matthew chapter 15, and the Lord gave him the answer, he still did not understand after the Lord explained it to him word by word. You say, why? That's so disappointing that the Lord tells you something once and you should understand it, and then you ask for an explanation and the Lord says, you already should have known the explanation, and the Lord goes over it step by step again, and you still don't understand. Now, that is something that is worthy of review. So, let me ask you this. How do I know for sure that Peter did not understand the explanation of this parable, as he called it, after the Lord explained it? Because in Acts chapter 10, not with something that goes into your mouth physically, but a physical thing that could go into your mouth that represents something spiritually. He explained it three times to Peter. Think of that. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was hungry, and while they were preparing a meal for him, he was on the housetop, and the Lord Jesus gave him an object lesson from heaven. And the Lord caused a sheet to be let down from heaven. And on that sheet were all unclean animals that you find in the book of Leviticus that are not to be eaten. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." And the Lord Jesus said, "What God hath cleansed, make not thou common." He said, "Well, that's hard to understand." The Lord said, "All right, I'll do it again." And so he did it the second time. And he did it the third time. And Peter still did not understand. So in Matthew 15, he speaks a portion and then explains it to Peter. Peter doesn't understand. From heaven, the Lord Jesus explains to Peter one time, two times, three times, and Peter still doesn't understand. But, thank God for this. It says, while Peter was much perplexed, he was thinking on the matter, and finally, while he was thinking, it came to him. He said, "I understand now. These animals that are unclean are representative of the peoples of the world. Greeks, Chinese, German, Japanese, English, Scottish, Irish. Why, these animals are typical, in a way that is symbolical, of all the people of the world, and some of the people up until now have been symbolically unclean, but now you're telling me that you're pronounced unclean." So think for a moment, and maybe you can grasp it. When God finished his creation before sin came into the world, this is the pronouncement that he made. God looked upon everything that he had made and he said, "It is very good." And so at that time before sin came into the world, every creature of God was good, and not one of those creatures would be called unclean. But once sin came into the world, then God symbolically said, this animal shall be unclean, this bird shall be unclean, this insect shall be unclean. But understand that before sin came into the world, everything was very good. And now the Lord Jesus is saying this, since I have come and died on the cross, whereas at one time Jews were looked upon in one way and Gentiles were looked upon in another, now there is no distinction. And God tells us by the Apostle Paul again and again, and in Acts 10, the Lord Jesus himself tells us three times from heaven. And so I'm liable to think this. I am a Gentile, and if a Jew comes around me, I'm liable to think that he is a Jew and he's inferior to me. That's the way we would think today. But in the times of Christ, a Jew would come upon us Gentiles and he would say, you are inferior to me. But what the Lord Jesus said, what God hath cleansed, make not thou come. And so if a Jew draws up and says, separate from me, I am holier than thou, at one time, symbolically and positionally, that's true, he was, but not anymore, because the Lord has cleansed. And it makes something in my heart feel guilty when I look at an Oriental, a black man, a red man, I look at them and say, somehow they are inferior to me. They may very well look upon me, a white man, and say they are inferior to me. When I preach to the Indians, the American Indians down in Pembroke, we laugh because we call them red men, and they look upon us and call us pale faces. But in the sight of God, whether we are white men or pale faces, like the song, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. And so God says this. He says, now, what God has planned, make not thou common. So whether I like it or not, a black man, a red man, a yellow man is not common anymore. And God wants them saved as much as He wants us saved. At one time, remember this, that God started working with the Jew, but His intention while working with the Jew was eventually, as He said to Abraham, in you, Abraham, in your seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so God never intended to start with the Jew and stop with the Jew. But God intended to start with the Jew and through the Jew, reach out to the Gentiles. But what the Jews did was this. They said, it's all for us and it's not going any further. They had ways that Gentiles could come and have a subservient place with God, but never equality. But you may read in Ephesians 2 that God's Son has broken down the middle wall of partition, and now there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The Jew that could be proud at one time can no longer be proud. And the Gentile that is proud today can no longer be proud. There is no distinction. And this is what He's trying to tell Peter. He told him, first of all, in Matthew 10. And then He told him again three times in Acts chapter 10. But after all this time, Peter thought on the matter. It says, while he was considering the matter, some Gentiles that God said He wanted him to meet were coming to hear Him preach. And then it dawned on Peter. He said, I understand. He said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. And so then Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles, and the household of Cornelius and all his friends were saved, and the Spirit of God came upon them. And Peter was amazed, and all the Jews were amazed, but they could not deny this visible acceptance of the Gentiles by God. And then what Peter had understood finally by those sheets being let down from heaven, he said, I perceive he saw God's Spirit working, making those Gentiles acceptable. Now, Peter had learned it, but the other Jews had not learned it. And the Jews heard that Peter had gone and preached to the Gentiles and had been associating with the Gentiles, and they rebuked him. They said, you went into a nation of people that is unclean. And Peter said, let me tell you. And he explained the experience he had had and the message he had given and how God had sent his Spirit from heaven and had indwelt those Gentiles. And Peter said, who was I that I could resist God? And then the Jew acknowledged it and said, then unto the Gentiles hath God granted repentance unto life. Now, here is the challenge for you and for me. That when the Lord said this, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. What he expected us to do was to see this, that physically, and that's what we are physical beings, and an animal that is either a sheep or a pig, it is a material thing. A bird that is a hawk or a kingbird, a turtle dove or a young pigeon, they're all God's creatures. And God said at one time, typically, these birds and these animals were unclean, but now I am pronouncing them clean. And so the Savior is saying, not that which enters your mouth defiles you, but that which comes out. Now at that time, and if you read in Mark's Gospel, you will understand that at that moment, he made all things clean. They didn't understand it then, but later they understood it, and the Apostle Paul understood it, and this is what he said. He said, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself. Has that ever happened to you? Do you know and are you persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself? You say, no. Paul says, except to him who reckoneth it to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Because Paul knew what Peter was taught from heaven. And so he said, there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Now, if you can get the world to think that way, but you can't do that. No matter what nation you are, you will think you're superior to another nation. And if you force people into thinking that way, it will never work. But eventually, if the Spirit of God teaches us, then we know. But it takes the work of the Spirit of God. So understand that Peter is being told at this moment that not that which goes in and passes out of you defiles you, but that which is in you. If I could look into each heart here, it would be as black as sin. Why? Listen to what the Savior said. He says, out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft. And he says, also railing. All of those things proceed out of the heart. You know that some of those things are in your heart? You say, they couldn't be in my heart. No. I would look at David, the man after God's heart, and I would never think that there was adultery in his heart, but there was. Ask Bathsheba about it. And at the same time, I would look at Peter, the man after God's own heart, and I would never say, there is murder in your heart, but ask Uriah the Hittite, and he would say, there was murder in his heart. And so thank God, these gross sins have never been committed by us. But it is in your heart, and the Lord Jesus said that. Listen to what Paul said. He said, I know that in me, that is in my heart, that dwelleth no good thing. Do you know what's in you? You don't know what's in you. You say, I would never do such a thing. That's what Peter is going to say on a future occasion. The Lord Jesus said, you're all going to forsake me and flee. Peter said, I will never do that. He said, before the cock crow twice, I shall deny me thrice. And Peter said, never, it shall never happen. But let me ask you, who denied the Savior three times before the cock crow twice? You say, Peter did it. And so we better learn the lesson as to what is in our heart. Do you remember this one thing that Paul said in Romans? He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And even though you are born again, and you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, that old fallen nature is still in you, and it can rise up and can commit sin at any time. And this is what the Savior wants us to understand, and it's what Peter did not understand, but it's what Paul understood. And so this is a question that Peter never should have asked. He said, Lord, explain unto us this parable about what makes a man unclean. The Lord expected him to understand. I confess that I expect more of the people of God than I find in the people of God. You speak to people and you expect them to know certain things, but they do not know certain things. But at times, you will find one brother or sister that knows things, and you are so pleased when they know those things. That is good. But most of the time, you find that what they are supposed to know, they do not know. And this is the way that I embarrass Christians. When they are talking to me, they'll say, here is a wonderful verse. And they will mention the verse to me and say, where is that found in the Bible? Oh, well, I can't remember that exactly. And usually, if I ask them, I know where it is. I wouldn't have asked them, you see. And I say, this is where it is. I said, never forget it. So, you think you know things, but unless you are able to point it out, it's like this man that was rebuking one that he knew that was drunk. And he said, do you not know that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise? And that drunk said to him, where is that in the Bible? He said, I can't remember. He said, I told you it wasn't in the Bible. And so that's what happens. You tell people things, be able to show them. And if it meant your life, could you tell me first in the Bible? I won't tell you now or you can look it up, but it's in the Bible. And so the things that we tell people, be sure that you know them, that you've hidden them in your heart, that you've committed them to memory. And that way, you'll be able, when the Lord Jesus gives the parable, to understand the parable, and then be able to explain it to others. Now, think of this. Just so briefly about this. At times, it's not Peter asking a question that shouldn't be asked, but he's giving an answer that should not be given. They came to the Lord Jesus home in Capernaum, and people that were gathering money for the temple. I won't go into details, but the only thing that was absolutely required, it's written down, is that when a Jewish male turned 20, he had to give God a half of a shekel. That was his redemption money. he had to give it, and the tabernacle, all the silver that was given, why, it was made up of the silver of the money that was given for the redemption of their soul. And if I ask you, how much does a shekel weigh, and how large is it? Well, so that there would be no controversy, I was at the post office, and it has a scale that will weigh things beginning from a fraction of an ounce on up. And so I put a dime on it that looked silver, it used to be silver, and it was 4/100 of an ounce, a little less than half an ounce. And so that is what a shekel would have been. A shekel. A half an ounce. But then, the tribute money was half of a shekel, which was half of an ounce. So a quarter of an ounce was all the silver a man had to give when he was 20 years old to redeem his soul. And so you take a dime and cut it in half and think of it as a little bit longer, larger, and that's how much a half shekel would be. And so they were coming to gather that half shekel, not only when you were 20, but they were collecting it annually to repair the temple. And think, if this is the temple of God, and you come to me for a donation and you're asking, will I pay the tribute money? Of course I will. And so the Lord Jesus was out. But when Peter was asked, does your master, does your teacher pay the tribute money? He was indignant. Yes, he pays the money. Suppose I'm preaching to you, and somebody asks, does that John Mills help out with his church in Goldsboro? You would say, why, of course he does. Now, that is a different matter, because here are Israelites, and all Israelites are different in one respect from the Lord Jesus. And so when Peter said, yes, my master pays, then it meant that Jesus was just one Jew among many Jews. But he wasn't. He was truly a Jew, he was truly a man, but there was no sin in him. And every Jew had a beginning. But it says concerning our Savior, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God gave his only begotten Son. So here is a Jew, but he is like Jew, but different from Jew. And the Lord Jesus would never let Peter forget it. And so Peter, being indignant, do you think that my master is one who would hold back something from God and not give to repair the temple? Why, yes, he gives the tribute money. At times, you give the right answer, but you do not understand all that's involved when you give that answer. And so when the Lord Jesus came in, before Peter could say anything to him, he said, Simon, I have a question for you. From whom do the kings of the earth gather toll and tribute? From their sons or from strangers? And that was an easy question. Jesus said, why, from strangers? The Lord Jesus said, then the sons are free. They don't have to pay. He said, but even though that's true, and I am exempt from paying this, lest we cause them to stumble, you go and cast in a hook, and the first fish you catch, you'll find in its mouth, and this was a coin that was worth 2 half shekels, just enough to pay for you and for me and for you. Now, that is amazing that such a thing could occur and that Peter would be taught this lesson. And let me ask you, do you think he would ever forget the answer he gave and how it was wrong because Jesus was the Son of God, and yet how it was right because the Lord Jesus was a man among men? And the Lord Jesus at times did things not because he was indebted to God, not because he owed God anything, but lest we should cause them to stumble, because some people would not understand. You go and catch a fish and pay them for both of it. And so this is what God would have us understand. At times we ask questions to which we should know the answer, and at times we give answers and we do not know all that is fully involved. So by the grace of God, let us learn from the question and answer of Peter. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the things that you teach us in your word. Our God, let us know that we're so glad that we're saved. But we confess, Father, that whereas we think of what we've done in the past and we've been delivered from it, let us remember that in us, in our flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And let us understand that because of your Son, he intercedes for us in heaven, and he assists us day by day, that what we are by nature in Adam can be overcome. Sin shall not have dominion over us because we are not under law, but we are under grace. So help us to know when to ask questions and when to give answers. And may they always be right. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.